Your customer who's your mate message you, can you fit me in? You have about 6 different WhatsApp messages when actually the computer should be doing that for you.
Yeah.
And you get that time back. He goes, yeah, but I lose contact with them. I go, well, you've got them in your chair. Yeah. Yeah. You've got the best industry ever to build customer relationship because you've got them for 30 minutes. Yeah.
Salons have certainly been very involved with online bookings for a long time. But barbering, you know, historically has always been this kind of walk-in industry.
But the real advantage is that when you start using it for your marketing, start using it for your productivity, running your business, and then taking your payments for it as well. So everything's all in one place.
Men are caring a lot more, which is reflecting in their spending. So we've noticed generally barbers have been almost like a little bit frightened to increase their prices historically. It might take 40 minutes to cut a lady's hair. It takes 40 minutes to do a good fade, but the price for the women's haircut can be sometimes twice as much as men's.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we are here in at Wolf King's Cross. Thanks very much, Joe, for letting us use your space. And we are here talking about the business and the tech of booking systems. I'm joined here with Jason Downs. Hi, Jason.
Hey,
from
Anthony.
Vigaro. And from Ben Fisher from Bew. Whichever way,
north or south, doesn't matter.
Depending on where you are. We were just chatting really about your kind of arrival in the industry and how you two came about. From your point of view, the hair, the beauty industry is a new thing for you in the last few years.
Yeah, I get approached. Vigaro is a very big established company, predominantly in the US, been going 15 years. It was the first app in the Apple App Store in terms of this sector. But we wanted to expand internationally, so I got approached from my tech background to set up in the UK, and that was just over 3 years ago. So a lovely rapid growth phase of a business, yeah. But yeah, very brand new in terms of the industry, in terms of different personalities. And what I love is the passion, because you're dealing with business owners.
Yeah,
it's their business.
Definitely. And yourself, Ben?
Yeah, mine's kind of fell into it. So my background was in physics initially at university, and then I very nearly went to work for MI6. So I had my final interview the same week. I don't know if you remember, where there was a spy found in a suitcase in Pimlico.
Yes, yeah.
That put me off a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, kind of fell into it. So I needed to book a haircut, and then was visiting friends. Couldn't find anywhere available. I thought maybe there'd be a space in the industry for a booking system for barbers. And then as I did more research, I found that seemed to be a gap in the market with a lot of salons in particular at the time, and obviously barbers too, but for bookings already, salons with self-employed staff. And there was no real solution that worked where they had mix of employees and self-employed. So we built a tool around that and then moved from more of the salon side now into salon and barbering.
Mm. I mean, salons and beauty spas have certainly been very involved with online bookings for a long time, and it's not such a kind of unusual thing to swap and change and so on. But barbering, you know, historically has always been this kind of walk-in industry. No names taken, nothing.
Yeah.
And so we've seen this revelation that I've certainly got clients that I've known for years that, if I'm honest, I didn't know their names, because they'd come in, I'd be like, oh yeah, grab a seat and cut the hair and that'd be that. And I knew loads about them, but I had no idea until we put in a booking system who the hell they were. Are you finding barbershops are more enthusiastic about this, about an online booking now, or is there still a resistance to do it?
For us, we saw there was a big catalyst event with COVID. So obviously when they had to implement all of the track and trace, they had to take down the customer details. And I think a side effect from that was that they realized they had suddenly a big long client list, which people in the hair industry were very used to. They could then remarket them. And then it kind of came from that. Once they had implemented, it was more difficult to go away from, I think.
Yeah,
it's still surprising that half the businesses that would join Vigaro will come from a non-booking.
So is that really?
Yep, absolutely. So it's still that new.
Wow. Yeah.
And a lot of those are the startups. Yeah. So I'm starting for the first time. I'm now passionate about running my own business. So
okay.
They're coming across. So that's the whole education piece of what the benefits of a booking system. Different in London, typically, and some of the other cities, you'll find that much more high percent of already establishing bookings. But yeah, lots of people are still missing out on the time saving and the money making that booking systems can bring.
Yeah, I think we've presumably kind of got over the fear of admitting that we're doing this amount of work.
Yeah.
I think there was an awful lot of blindsiding in the barbering industry. Historically, I'm going back decades, obviously.
Yeah.
And Track and Trace really did make everyone realise that actually this is, it gave it more of a professionalism, I guess. It started making us think this is a client base. But I'm still surprised the amount of people who've got a system that aren't utilising the data of it.
It's quite funny. I always say anyone can do bookings, and yet, you know, self and Ben would probably introduce ourselves as, oh yeah, we run a booking system, but that actually the booking system's the easy bit.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's the bit anyone can do. But the real advantages of when you start using it for your marketing, start using it for your productivity of running your business, and then taking your payments through it as well. So everything's all in one place.
Yeah.
That's the real benefits people get. And the benefits can be of time savings and driving profitability.
Yeah. Do you find that something that people are willingly up for and doing naturally, or is that something?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say majority of people that come to us aren't looking for a booking system. So like you say, it's quite easy to build a booking system. It's everything else that they're more interested in. So our biggest driver was, because we're designed for businesses with self-employed staff, that a lot of the barbers that we were dealing with, they would either be working almost like a semi-employed, self-employed status, where they'll be running payroll, all payments will be going through one card reader, or be the other side of the spectrum where they would have 10 different card readers, or get to the end of the checkout and then he'd find out which one's theirs, is it charged up, where's the charger, all this kind of stuff. So with our platform, all the bookings go through all under one system, but the self-employed can attach their own bank accounts, they can do automatic commission splitting, so when the customer pays at the end of the appointment, they can split that payment, send some to the business owner, some to the self-employed. And that's where I would say 90% of our traffic came through everything around the booking system as opposed to the booking system itself.
And do you find that?
Yeah, very similar. You've got to establish what the business model is and the business goals. Once you've got that, you can then pivot into the support we can provide.
Yeah. Presumably it kills off an awful... I mean, you must find you've had conversations with owners who are trying to implement your system to make it do something that it's not meant to. The grey areas that, yep, which I'd say hidden employment and the way self-employed can be treated. Does yours make it virtually impossible to get scammed by a boss if we're working with a software system?
Yes, I would say that's one of the big benefits of it. So say if you had a barbershop and you used our system, when you set up the details for it, you would add the people that work in there. Then they'll get sent an email to set up their own account attached to the platform. So everything like KYC, so they have to, all the know your customer checks and things like that. When they have their bank account, that's all automated. So both the self-employed person knows that they're not getting exploited, and the business owners knows that they're far less liable than they would have been if they were running it in a way, like you said, it's hidden employment.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting. I always think this conversation often is, how do I avoid paying tax rather than how do I focus on making money?
I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah, and that's where, again, the platform will allow you to do that very targeted marketing. Because the data, as you say, is a lot of people just don't understand how to use it. They know what they want to do. And we say, look, the worst bit about marketing is mass marketing. What you want to do is absolutely targeted marketing, and then you get your best returns on your investment and you can really drive your business forward.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's exactly it. I think whenever tax is talked about, it is all about lack of ambition.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It is a matter of, stay away from thresholds and try and keep as much of your money rather than exactly that, growing it. But we are seeing this, or I'm starting to see much more, and maybe it's social media, but it seems to be everywhere, the kind of business coaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've kind of dug around a bit of it, and so much of it seems like actually they're just immediately looking at the reports you guys have done and deciphering them. Is there a fear factor? I mean, that's the bit. I think sometimes you can look at the amount of data that you've got at the back end of your systems and it can be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, I think this is where, you know, I think Ben was talking earlier, is that most people are running the business, they were a barber first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, behind the chair. That's their passion. That's their skill set. So suddenly being able to work out, oh, I'm now a marketeer. Yeah. I'm now a financial person. Well, it helped me through that process. So again, a lot of the work we do in terms of when we onboard our customers is show them how the reports can be used and just show them the shortcuts where other businesses have made it successfully. So it's interesting when you talk about business coaching, because ultimately our customer success team is very much their business coach in terms of the first few key appointments.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, I think the amount of information that suddenly comes in when you've got, you know, everything from just the, you know, a guy coming in and paying for his haircut, you suddenly know, you start knowing so much more about him, the regularity and so on. That it just surprises me that we're having such such a huge explosion of online booking systems at the same time as this business coaching that's coming along, when actually, if you've got an online booking system, you've kind of, you've done the business coaching bit, haven't you?
Yeah, to some extent.
Literally, I think some of the business coaches out there are exceptional.
I'm not putting them all on there, but I just seem, there does seem a lot that are essentially looking at online systems and immediately they're talking about, I don't know, your kind of retentions and so on, and your marketing, and you kind of go, that's all in there, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the big things about this as well, a lot of the time that I see the coaching, it seems to be focused on how do I attract more customers and how do I keep and retain those customers, where like one of the benefits of like most barbershops, you're not short of customers, you know? Your customer can be 50% of the population between any age. It's not that there's a lack of people. And sometimes when you see the coaching, you see the advice, like if it's very tailored to who their ideal demographic is and who their ideal customer is. That's one of the things that we've like identified and what we're working on at the moment to try and help that. Like a lot of the time, the best coaching you can get can be from your own data and how you interpret it. So one of the tools that we're building, it's an AI tool that sits on the data level. So it'll analyze everything that happens within the business itself. And it will see about how they can optimize it and how they can improve it. So rather than have a conversation with a advisor or a coach or anything like that, they could have a conversation like we're having now, but with their own data and their own business. So they can pull out reports, they can work out how to optimize it and kind of push it from that side. Because I think there can be a tendency to try and copy someone else's mold.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, if you're copying, I don't know, the top barbershop in a very affluent area, the requirements of their customers are going to be different to yours. If you're in a less affluent area, people don't have the same spending power and you end up prioritizing the wrong things. So
yeah.
I think that's something that's quite important to always take away. Like, although it's the same industry, like demographics make a big difference.
And so it's interesting where you pivoted there from a business coach to ultimately how AI is going to be your business coach. And in regard, we've got Vera, who at the moment really helps you from productivity. You're doing an email and you suddenly just say, oh, what style do I want? Uplifting? Who do I want to target? And suddenly, so for somebody who may not be good at writing, because that's not their core skill, suddenly writing this wonderful email with the help of AI. And that's here now in Vergara. But what's coming in the future will be absolutely, as Ben was talking there, about using your own data and giving you coaching and tips of how to run your business even better.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to really help.
But you guys have, you know, you're booking, you know, your systems are booking millions of appointments a day, a week, month, or I don't even want to consider the numbers that you're talking about here. And the one thing whenever I talk to other storekeepers or barbers or, you know, the first thing I always ask is, are you busy? That we're looking for kind of, are we benchmarking against everybody else? Are we in line? But what do you see as the trends that come through from your vastness of bookings? Are you crunching your numbers constantly to bring new software and new bits to your gear?
Yeah, I think one of the big trends it should be exciting for barbers. I think it's very closely following what's happening with hair. And I think there's been a trend, especially in the last couple of years, where men are caring a lot more, which is reflecting in their spending. So we've noticed like in a fairly short amount of time, it seems to be like constant price increases. Obviously some of that would be due to like the cost of living and everything else that goes into it. And I think generally barbers have been, I don't know, almost like a little bit frightened to increase their prices historically.
Terrified to put our price. Probably the most biggest conversation out there at the moment ever.
But where you look at hair, like, you know, it might take 40 minutes to cut a lady's hair. It takes 40 minutes to do a good fade, but the price for the women's haircut can be sometimes twice as much as the men's. From what we're seeing, I think that's starting to change, and I think that will continue to change. So,
yeah, it does seem to be, I think that confidence I guess is where I come back to backing it up with the data yeah. that your system's got. Obviously with the barbers, you know, you put your beard prices up by a couple of quid, it's not going to make a huge impact, but you put a couple of quid on every haircut, you're suddenly making those
changes. But I think a lot of the barbers, when you speak to them about it, it's not just the fear of the price. It's like, well, no, my customers are my friends. Mm. I don't want to do that. So we talk about, okay, if you don't want to put your prices up, can you use the system to prompt more add-ons? So yeah. you're upselling, but yeah. you're giving them a better service and even more offering. You start selling more product because you've got them in the chair for 30 minutes. So that's the opportunity. You've got a captured audience. So again, make sure you're running your inventory properly and getting the data that says, okay, I'm actually stocking products that I'm selling, rather than you can go into lots of barbers, unfortunately, and I can look at it and go, you're not running your inventory via software because I can see how much dust you got on your product. Yeah. So you've just got to keep thinking about different ways to get value from the customer. If you are conscious about not putting a price increase, but I've always viewed price increases as it's passing along. It's not your fault. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it to make more money. You're doing it to make sure you're not making less money.
Yeah.
And that's really the stance. So your friends do understand that. Your customers do understand that.
Yeah. That's one of the big parts as well that we're focusing on going forward, is about increasing the ticket size per customer. Mm-hmm. So like you were saying with the AI features, like rather than it just being a booking system, I think the traditional booking system changing quite dramatically, and it will continue to change quickly. So we're doing stuff with like AI receptionists as well. So and also the route that the customer comes in. So historically, it's click the link, book the service or book the person, choose your service and you check out. Where the way it's going, it's going to be you either call on the phone, or you know, it might be through a chatbot, or it'll be through an agentic AI tool, so built into the OS on your phone. And the idea that we want is that, you know, that's the first point of contact where you can work on the upselling. So when they come in to book a haircut, you know, you can have a conversation with them, or the AI agent can have a conversation with them and say, hey, look, you need to get your beard done as well. Are there any photos or anything you want for inspiration? Because I think sometimes men can be quite shy to turn up with a little magazine cover and say, hey, look, made me look like David Beckham. Like it's not really in most men's nature to do that. And like from what we found from our internal research, people they're searching it. They're just not speaking to the barber about it, which is probably the person they should be. So we want to touch them before that contact point. So when they come into the chair, you know, they've already been upsold. Maybe they've booked their hair. They're now getting their beard done as well. They're interested in product as well. And the AI will be trained on all of the data in the back of house. So now about the products they're selling, why they're better, and all this that goes with it. And then that links as well with everything else that goes with it. It's not just booking, it's about recapturing them, how you capture them later on as well. So it's like a full ecosystem that I think is going to be a trend and a change across the industry. So I know from what you said,
and it is. It's that balance, I think, always of thinking how much are you looking and nurturing after your customer base? Through upselling, through retention, through constantly remarketing, and then also how much are you actually getting brand new customers? And I think your point, am I busy? I think most businesses would still like more new customers. And Vergara has a free marketplace, which is great because you can promote your business on the marketplace. But the best thing about our marketplace compared to others is you keep all the profit because you're doing all the work. And that, again, is a unique tool in terms of a free marketplace for Vergara.
I don't know that. Can you explain that a bit more?
So we advertise your business on. So if you're searching for a barber near me, suddenly Vergara will come up because it's got lots and lots of algorithms going through it. So suddenly your business will be promoted on there. So unlike your Treatwells, your Booksies, your Freshers, we don't charge for that. We make our money from the software and nice and transparent. So therefore that additional income you're getting, and our established businesses are getting 6 new customers a month.
I feel like I better say that as well. We do not charge a booking fee. So we're both very aligned on this. Like, we don't think it's the right way.
I think that's some of the stuff that the industry's got put off with booking systems is because all the pricing, nobody could understand it.
Yeah.
People are telling it's free forever. Guess what? It's never going to be free forever. And guess what? It's now not free forever. So we're inundated with calls on that. But there's also other people who are doing things like, oh, you book online, I'll charge you and I'll get some money back. It's almost like all these hidden bits. And you think, the poor old barber, how are you going to work out what you're paying if you don't know what your bill is?
I mean, I think it feels like very early days of the kind of online, which was you'd get charged for a booking and then a new client would be charged for, but a repeat wouldn't at a different price. Yeah,
that is still absolutely the model out there by the established marketplace people.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's all sorts of hidden fees. That's why, again, when we talked about coming on together, I thought, I say, look, Ben's one of the good guys, yeah? Again, it's a transparent pricing model. Yeah. And I just think it's wrong for this industry. It's taking advantage of people.
I mean, those aren't obviously companies that I've involved myself with. So I've never encountered that. I get a I get a straight bill every month.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you need, isn't it? You've got to run your business.
And then, although obviously we go through an awful lot of text messaging, which has become the kind of cornerstone of our marketing. I'm a big believer in keeping in touch with your clients, and I love a rebooker and all that kind of stuff. And I, you know, certainly from our kind of KPIs, our one of our main ones is getting them rebooked and trying to shrink the time. And we certainly see that if we rebook a guy in for 3 weeks' time, he's coming back in 3 weeks' time. If we leave him to it, it'll be four or five or six. And then presumably that's one of the big, certainly for me, that's a big one. That must be a big driver for most of the, certainly the barbershops.
A couple of things how it works is people have got to also be careful about if they're talking about marketing or notifications. So notifications is reminding you to turn up, and that's what drives your no-shows down. So again, Vergara offers that as a free notification, however busy you are. Whilst the number of others cap it at a limit, which again, why you get confused what your bill is. You suddenly go over 200 and it's like, oh, 200 is not a lot. So you've suddenly gone over that. But Vergara does that to make sure you turn up. And the other side of it is your text and email marketing, which you can buy your plans that are right for you. And you can scale them up or down depending on how much business you need at that time. And you've got to be really careful how you use those, because in the UK, text messaging is expensive for businesses. We basically give it to free to the consumer and then charge the poor business. Again, it always seems the business game here at the moment. The poor business game
feels like life at the moment.
Yeah, it does though, doesn't it? Yeah, so on that side, you just got to be really careful how you manage your data.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. So like, how do you do it at the moment? So is it more reminders that you're doing and then a booking reminder like a few weeks after?
Yeah, so I mean, ours is mainly in the store. So we'll definitely go with the whole principle of, let's get you booked in 3 weeks' time. And generally, we'll base it on what the system's telling us, that if the guy's normally getting his haircut every three or 4 weeks, then we know he's going to be back in three or 4 weeks. And so that's where we're targeting it. And so we're not trying to get them in a week quicker. We're just trying to get them in when they come in. One, it makes our bookings easier. And two, they get booked up. So it is a matter of it's better for them. But that's been a big driver. That's definitely been one of the main things we've looked at. You know, with the salons, I think we try for average bill. And I think we try very hard to get the average bill up. But with the barbering, with the barber stores, it's definitely about rebookings. And we don't like phrases like, do you want to rebook? Because we all know the answer to do you want to rebook is no. Whereas I've booked you in for 3 weeks' time.
You're done.
What do you find marketing-wise? What do you find are the most popular aspects of your systems? Are they do they fall in the line, or are they very
different? Think you just follow life. So guess what, at the moment Instagram is the explosion in terms of how much more eyeballs on that compared to say Facebook was. So a large chunk of those bookings are through the booking widget that the software can do within your social media posts. So while you, and it's interesting about rebooking, the amount of bookings we find now are done out of traditional hours is fantastic. So it's not disturbing your flow in any way. You just literally come in to work and it's like, oh wow, I've got more bookings than I expected. That was cool. I've got some marketplace bookings, I've got some Instagram bookings, I've got some email marketing bookings. But Instagram's the key one at the moment, I would say, that is almost getting stronger. In this sector, it's more as well.
Just jumping around a little bit as well, I think it's also going to be something that changes too. So you're saying about like the importance of your SMS reminders and how that works, and then you have your different silo, which is your marketing. So I think that's going to mix very quickly. So we built a tool where we're integrating to communication. So say, for example, you send a rebooking reminder via SMS or WhatsApp. It's sent automatically, but then if they want to reply to it, they could do, I assume, right? Or would it be they have to call up?
No, they can respond.
So we'll have a tool that will sit in there. So you have an AI agent that can work with you. So say, for example, you send a booking reminder and then they're not available. They can respond, I'm not available. But the AI agent will be able to take over that and then rebook them in when they are. And then also work out if anything changes. So say, for example, you know, they need to push it back by another week. Maybe the requirements change. Maybe it's not just a haircut they need. They need the beard trim or whatever that goes with it. So, but I think there's going to be a big change in the next 6 to 12 months in terms of like marketing communications and how that's handled. It feels to us almost like an inflection point.
Sorry to interrupt, but I want to talk to you about something really important. Our podcast here is more than just about the industry, the barbershop and the life therein. It's about the community that we've built. And in the time we've been doing this podcast, the community has been amazing and we've loved it. Now we're looking for you to get involved and become an essential part of our future. We're seeking long-term, mutually beneficial opportunities for partnership to come on board and help spread our message, to connect with our community, to help grow it, to keep the message strong, and to keep hearing and discussing these amazing topics that we do with all our guests. If you think your brand is the right brand for us, if you want to get in touch, please email me at thenoblebarberpodcast@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram. Be really good to talk to you. We'd love you to be part of our future. Okay, and now back to the episode. Are you finding that the barbering is falling in line with how salons work more now?
Yeah, absolutely. The bigger ones particularly, I think they always have been, to be honest. I think I go into a large barber, and a large barber could be anything up, say, six or plus chairs. There's still lots of, and as soon as they're then running, they're promoting product, they need to manage product, which is key. One thing's promoting it, the other thing's managing. Got to be really careful on that. They've got, you know, they're managing their teams, be that be self-employed or employed, they're still managing them. And they're absolutely taking the customer first approach and trying really conscious of on that booking cycle. And it's interesting of that point of, oh, if I get them to 3 weeks, they do look better. I always know with mine, it's like, if I go 5 weeks, it gets even grayer than it is. But I typically will always, I'm sort of conditioned to think it's every 4 weeks, but I should really be going every 3 weeks. That's really my cycle. And I think that would be another nice way for people to get more revenue, is just by thinking about what's the ideal booking reschedule and do it there and then. Because ultimately they're in the chair and they can have the app open and they can just do it there and then. So it's totally seamless.
I think another big change as well, like we've noticed, there's like, it's been happening for a couple of years now, but the shift from like being cash focused to being like very welcoming of card, almost to the extent, you know, it reduces their overheads for management and things like that. That's been a big change for us. So where we've got the way it works with the self-employed, they sit independently under the barbershop. Before it was almost like quite a hard sell, where we would go to them and say, hey, look, how are you taking your payment? They didn't want to talk about money. No one wanted to talk about money. They didn't want to know how the money was recorded. It was very much cash first, and then we'd sort it out at the end of the day. Where now, it seems like no one really has cash anymore. So, that's been a big shift for us. But that also called into all the questions around employment, employment law, how can they get paid independently? And the other big one as well, a lot of businesses that we speak to, where they've got a mix of employed and a mix of self-employed, they'll be managing multiple booking systems. So if you've got a favorite barber and you call up and you say, hey, is Lenny available, or is Jason available? And the answer is they don't know, because they can't check their booking system. So that's one of the benefits with ours, that they can, you know, because they can choose to share.
From a legal point of view, you can have a shared receptionist. It's not, you know, it is a matter of if the whole team is working under one system, that's not seen as hidden employment. You know, you can still own your own database. And this is the bit that always gets confused.
Yep.
If the store is only using Vergara, whose data is it? Or Bow, sorry. You know, whose data is it, and how is that separated?
And again, it depends how you set it up. Ultimately, if the business is running their business and owning it, the business there, and you get what we call permissions, so an access levels, so you can actually control who sees that data. Alternatively, if it is a truly self-employed booth renter type model, you're coming in and just renting a chair, then again, you can make sure that is sectioned off very independently, very separately. So it's all about having that business discussion right at the beginning of your journey to say, okay, how do you work? How do you want to work? And then letting the software work for you. And Ben, you do lots of this stuff.
Yeah, so we're built from the ground up to do that. It's all compartmentalized. Yeah, exactly. And the big part of that is data is really important. Clients are really important and money is really important. And they all overlap, and it has to be also the trust side of it too. So like, it's not about, if you're self-employed, you shouldn't be getting told what you're being paid. You should know what you're being paid, because it's in your account. So all of that is baked in the system. So like I said, like you can set it all up yourself. You can have the team members on that you need, but it's when it comes to payments, they just pay on their card at the end, that you know it's going directly to your bank account. And then the benefit for that as well, for barbershops where they're working on a commission basis, it's all automated. So they don't need to be in there and watching every single payment, because it's built into the system to do that off the bat. That was kind of our USP when we launched this. I think we were first to market. We started with that. That was like the fundamental of our business, and then we built everything else up on top.
Yeah, it's kind of mad how that it's the software that's kind of legitimizing and tidying up, if you like, that there were so many gray areas before. You know, I still speak to people who kind of goes, yeah, and then I get charged for using towels and I get charged for this. And actually by the end of it, I'm only on about 30%. Whereas it seems, certainly with the people using a booking system, it seems much cleaner, slicker.
Yeah, it's more professional. The whole
more
idea
professional,
of that's
yeah.
it is.
It's, the grey area.
And the rules, again, that's the beauty of technology. It's very binary. You know, you set rules, that's how it works. Yeah? If you get 70% or 60%, the computer says it. It's not a question of, oh, you worked really hard today, Ben. You're going to get more. The computer's telling you what is working.
Yeah.
And once it's set up, presumably, if the revenue do come and have a look, you're weak as you can be. It's a matter of
very transparent.
That's the joy of it.
Yeah.
That you don't have a second set of accounts somewhere that it is clean, tidy, and the revenue can see who's self-employed and that you're not handling their money. That money's going straight into their account and so on.
Yeah. I'd say one of our best sales people is actually one of our first customers. I won't say his name, but he has a salon chain. The largest one's got 40 plus people that work in there, and they had 40 something card readers. So they had a bank of card readers all with like daisy change, you know, where you get the multiple plug adapters, and it was blowing the fuses all the time. He was trying to draw too much power. And he actually, at the first exhibition that we went to, before we had a product, we just wanted to talk about the idea and see if anyone wanted it. He said, look, build it. I will pay and be your first customer today if you build this solution. So we built this, and then now he spends half his year in Thailand, and he can just log into the app, just check that the money's flowing through. And everyone there as well, all the self-employed that are working there know that it's their data, it's their clients, their customers. They don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah. But you surprised me that you were saying actually the majority of your new signups tend to be new to
that does systems. Show just how much still this is such a fluid industry, and it is. I always feel so sorry for some of the business owners. They've done lots of training, they've engaged their barbers, and then suddenly the barber sets up, you know, two doors down and sets their own up, but that's their ambition to run their own barbershop. But so you get those classed as brand new, and then you got, you know, people who are just like, I'm not quite ready for it yet. And as I say, you probably get through your London lens. Yeah.
But that's it. I think most of the barbers I speak to are city-based, are definitely much more tuned in, using it, utilising it. And if anything, are just the questions they're saying to me is, you know, remembering to set up the kind of marketing, to set up the management side of
things. But it's crazy because, it's a lot of these are single barbers. Yeah, you're running your own business and you're doing that. And it's like, it's only me. I don't need to save that time. I'm going, but what happens is your customer who's your mate messages, can you fit me in? You have about six different WhatsApp messages when actually the computer should be doing that for you.
Yeah.
And you get that time back. He goes, but I'll lose contact with him. I go, you've got him in your chair. You've got the best industry ever to build customer relationship because you've got them for 30 minutes.
No, you do find that. I think that's one of the bits I found early on was the kind of like, it's going to change the relationship. But actually, now I very rarely, I can't think of the last time I actually rang a restaurant to book a table.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, even places I use regularly, I tend to just go through their booking app and it's easy. I'm not thinking, they're not going to answer the phone. It's half past nine in the evening. They're full flight. And clients feel the same about their haircut. It is exactly that. We see most of our bookings come in after nine. You know, I guess kids go to bed and everyone's settled down and you're like, can they fit me
absolutely.
In? And, you know, or someone's going, we're going to that thing Saturday. It's like, crap.
Yeah.
And you can start getting that working for you.
Absolutely. And it's a spiral because ultimately you do that and suddenly you're using the software to help retain and grow your business. So you get busier and busier. So somebody then walks into you and you actually haven't got space.
Yeah.
So then that you as an individual go, do I go somewhere else or do I just rebook? And you're almost conditioned now to realize you're missing out if you don't book online. So as your customer, so it's not just the business that gets the benefit. It's you there. And I hate it if you go somewhere and you can't get in. It's like, no, I've wasted all this time.
Yeah.
You can never park anywhere either, can you?
Well, I think that's really interesting. I think probably the last couple of we've actually just taken it down because we always kept the walk-ins welcomed on our A board. And they are.
Yeah.
But I think one of our most recent one-star reviews was, it says they take walk-ins. I parked, I paid for parking, I walked up and they were busy. And it's just like, well, yeah, okay. I want walk-ins when I'm not doing anything. But actually kind of certainly we find the QR, you know, a scan and a ping.
Perfect.
And that tends to have got rid of the walk-in.
Yeah, one of our customers, you're in there and you see it, they've got this lovely sign, walk-ins readily, and it is, but they're so conditioned using the app, the first thing they say to him, can you book online? So even the walk-in they've got to book online.
We'll have them standing by the door.
It's
booking
like fantastic.
I think that also saves the awkward thing where once you start taking bookings, you know you have that data, then you start thinking about marketing. Mm-hmm. You're still taking bookings, walk-ins, you still want their data, but you don't want the awkward thing at the end, can I get your phone number, can I get your email, where like if you know you've just got the app, they book it in, you have that data, and then you're ready to go with it there on. So the other
beauty is the professionalism of the industry. I always think sometimes barbers sometimes don't realize how good and professional they are. It's such a valued service.
Yeah.
So when you've got a walk-in, a queue with people waiting, you always feel that, one, as a customer, I always felt, oh, they're going to rush me now.
Yeah.
Because they've got people waiting, and the barber's feeling guilty because he's got that. So it's just a bad experience if you've just got a queue. When actually what you want to do is be busy for the 8, 9, 10 hours, whatever you're working.
Yeah.
The other side to that as well, like if you are taking a ton of walk-ins, you've got to have somewhere to sit them, where if you can be booked the whole time, you just put more chairs in.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's an element, even with me, that I kind of miss those walk-ins. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There was something quite kind of theatre and exciting and buzzy about looking up and realising you've had 14 people on the bench waiting for you.
I just don't think people are that patient anymore.
I'm really honest, it's really nice knowing what's coming.
But everyone just is so time poor.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but we all seem more time poor. So therefore you are getting frustrated if you're waiting.
Yeah. And I think that was it. I think a lot of people felt the idea that their customers didn't want to book online. And it's not the case. We're all so used to it. I want to cover a bit more AI, which we'll do in second half. But I'm just intrigued from your points, from your company's point of view, is what you think would be, if you were going into a barber's, to a store, what would be the go-to marketing ploy that they should start? They've been using your systems for 6, 7, 8, 9 months. They've got, you know, several hundred clients on there. They've got several visits from each. What data should they be picking up on straight away? For everyone who's sitting there with a booking system who thinks, oh God, yeah, I never.
Simple thing is quickly look to see where are your customers booking you from.
Right.
So what is the source? Is it Google? Is it Instagram? Is it Marketplace? Understand where they're coming from, because typically where people are coming from the most, you almost want to double down on that, because that will drive you the quickest way through. So have a look at that first would be my first starting point.
For me, it'd probably be time between appointments. So like most people have some kind of like cadence, whether it'll be 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, but like even if it's there's 4 weeks, like if they're booking on a Monday and then on Friday the following week, after a few times of that happening, you lose a week. And then across all of the customers, that makes a big difference over the year in terms of the revenue numbers. And also the other one that we'll be saying to look at as well, and I say particularly for barbers, like I think hair are doing this quite well at the moment, is like, what is the average spend per customer? You know, are they coming in for a haircut and just a haircut? Or, you know, are you actually re-engaging with them? Are you saying, hey, look, is there anything else that you want to talk about? Do you want to get your beard done? What products are you using? So, and like, I mean, I'm guilty of this. I got my hair cut a few weeks ago and the barber was using a new clay product on me. I've never asked how to put clay into my hair properly. And he was like, do you want me to just show you how to use this properly? And I was like, oh my God, finally, yes. Yeah. I don't read men's beauty tips or anything like that. I didn't know how to do it. And I was like, I can't believe I've been doing this wrong for 30 years now. And, but I'd never been engaged with that. So of course I bought one immediately after. And I'm meant to know about this stuff because I deal with the data side of it. I do, but I'm not cutting hair. I'm not interacting with people. And for me, that was pretty interesting.
You can use simple things like add-ons. If you put an add-on to your booking, it then just automatically upsells, because a lot of people just don't like doing it. They don't know, I'm here to do the service for my client. But if you can, at the source of booking, get the upselling.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like the old days when you go to Argos and you get, do you want batteries with your toy? Yeah. Or do you want a McDonald's? Do you want to go large with that? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a nice soft way of just seeing is there anything else you can upsell on that appointment booking? Non-offensive because the tech's doing it, not you.
Yeah. That's one of the things as well that we'll be rolling out with the AI stuff. So whether they're contacting you through WhatsApp, messaging or whatever, they book an appointment, the AI will be able to have a conversation with it guided by what you want to drive in your business. So the good thing about men is things are always changing. Hairlines, unfortunately, are always changing.
Yeah.
They always have problems. They're conscious of them and they don't really want to talk about it. But it's much softer having a chat with that when you make your booking. And then you can have a consultation with it. And then, you know, they can introduce you to other products and other things as well that go with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think we are quite shy as an industry to upsell and to offer, which is
incredible because the confidence of the barbers. I mean, I've never met a quiet one. I don't know about you. Yeah.
It's really, really odd. We are very flamboyant, very outgoing, very confident, really know everything. The whole thing.
An opinion on everything.
Well, that's it. If you want to solve the world's problem, ask a barber or a black cab driver.
Absolutely.
They can answer all of it. But as soon as it comes into putting our prices up, offering products, doing all that kind of stuff, we shy away from it. So hopefully we can cover this with AI in part two. Guys, thank you very much. Where do you get your haircut?
Me? I'm awful. I'm so unorganised. So,
right, where was your best last haircut?
In my apartment. So.
Oh, really? What about you?
I'm a slave to my industry. So I've heard at the show, I think Phil Jarman did one three goes ago. Then it was Adam Sloan. And then it's Mike Capello in Harpenden. So I'm literally, as I go around, somebody does it. And they always tell me off because there's nothing worse than taking over someone's hair. I'm sorry, that's just part of it.
Love it. Well, nice to know that you're a pair of tarts when it comes to getting your hair cut, as we all can be. Guys, thank you very much for your time. Come back for part two. All about the future of booking, I guess. Thank you.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and we'll see you next time.